All right, we're going to continue with Daniel. We're going to look tonight at the five dreams and visions of Daniel in the book of Daniel. The first was under Nebuchadnezzar, the first king of Babylon. That was in the second year, 603 BC, the vision of the statue. The next two were under Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon. It's interesting God gave revelation to the first king and then to the during the last king. But the last four came to Daniel. The first one came to Nebuchadnezzar. The first one in 553 BC, the first year of Belshazzar, was the vision of the animals in chapter 7. 551 BC, in his third year, another vision of the animals. And then the last came under Cyrus, the first king of Persia. And that was the vision of the 70 weeks in Daniel. It came to Daniel. And then the last one was the vision of the kings and the end. And so that's the arrangement of the book of Daniel through five visions. Let me review again. Babylon was the first one. And it said in a great king who would rule. And he was the image on the top of the image of chapter 2, the head of fine gold. Says, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thy art this head of gold. Later on, in another vision to Daniel, he said he would be conquering quickly. He says he was the first, was like a lion. And in the land of Babylon, in the palace and all, they had images of lion. It's like a lion, fierce. And he had eagle's wing, which means he would be swift. And he started in 612 B.C., he conquered the Assyrian Empire, and then by 605 B.C., he'd come down and take Daniel and his friends captive, and it pretty well made most of that time under his power and dominion. It then said later on that same vision that he would be humbled. He said, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Talking about when God humbled him because he took pride. And he went 7 years out in the woods and the land and lost his mind, and then his mind was given back to him. That is the Babylonian Empire that God predicted way ahead of time. The second one was Media Persia from 539 to 331 B.C. It is the second kingdom. And he says in Daniel 2, his breast and his arms of silver, meaning there would be two. And he says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, which is Babylon. Which is Persia. Then in another vision, he said, the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And one kingdom would dominate over another. And he said, and behold, another beast, a second, likened to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, meaning that there were two kingdoms because it had two horns, but one was raised up, meaning that Cyrus the Great became the predominant one. He says, and then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. That is the image of Cyrus, who would conquer three kingdoms, and he would gain power, and that's which he did. He said it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, rise, devour much flesh. Said in the 551 B.C., and I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. He's describing Cyrus. He had three ribs in his mouth. And then he went westward, northward, and southward to conquer the kingdoms that would become part of the Persian Empire. He conquered the Lydian kingdom, which was northward. He conquered the Babylon kingdom, which was westward. And then he conquered Egypt, which was southward. And all this God predicted, that's what Cyrus the Great would do, and he did. Then there was a vision seen in the future capital of Persia, which is absolutely amazing to me. Daniel 8 says, "And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan, or Susa, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. This palace was built under Darius the First, later in his rule of 521-486 B.C., and completed under Xerxes in 486. In other words, God gave Daniel the vision to be in the palace before it ever been built. And so that's where the vision came from. He said, I saw myself in Susa, the palace of the great king, but that was before it ever been built. He then said that four more kings of Persia would rule. And then he says in Daniel 11, and now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And there were four kings who came after Cyrus. And that became part of what happened in the Old Testament. Cambyses was the first one after Cyrus. The second was Pseudo-Smerdis after him. The third was Darius the First. And this is when Haggai and Zechariah, where they come in, the time of encouraging to rebuild the temple after it had been stopped in 535 B.C. Cyrus came and let them go back to their land. They laid the foundation, but there was local opposition, and so it was stopped in 530 B.C. It wasn't until 520 B.C. that they started again. And Zechariah and Haggai, when you read them, they're the ones saying the encouragement to restart the rebuilding of the temple. Well, that occurred under the third king. The fourth one was Xerxes, or known as Ahasuerus, whatever that name is. And this was the time of Esther. And Esther is an Old Testament story of the great queen Esther. And she was the one that spared Israel from being destroyed by Mordecai. And many people thought, well, Esther's not, I mean, the name of the Lord's not even that book. But all it says is that he said to Esther, well, maybe you've come to the power as such as time as this. Once again, the providential hand of God. And she was there to spare it. Well, this occurred in the fourth kingdom. This last king, Xerxes, it said, would stir up Greece to conquer them. In Daniel 11, he says, and by his strength, meaning this fourth king, through his riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia, or Greece. Now remember, this happened a long time, that God predicted this long time before it ever happened. That's why when you listen to liberals and say, well, Daniel could not have wrote that book, somebody else wrote it later on and then just was given a historical account. The problem with that is Daniel also predicted things way beyond that. If you take the Bible for what it is, as inspiration of God, you have to accept Daniel wrote it and that's it. But this last king would go against Greece. His failed military campaign against the Greece in 481-479 sounded the beginning of the end for Persia, which ended in 331 B.C., which the scriptures predicted. What happened? Although the Greeks survived these attacks, they never forgave the Persians. Never forgave, because he came to attack Greece. And historical records show they never forgave Xerxes for that. When Alexander invaded Persia in 334 B.C., he mentioned the way Persia interfered in Greek affairs and disturbed the peace in Greece. Later accused Darius of murdering his father, but the official reason for the invasion stated by the League of Corinth was to avenge Xerxes' invasion in 480 B.C. You got to remember, this is the fourth king. And he tried to conquer Greece, and that made them mad. They didn't like that. And notice what the scripture says. First, this is the kingdom of Media and Persia. And so we will see in a minute about Greece. In 603 B.C., he says this will be the third kingdom. The image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. That was the third kingdom. You know, it's interesting, in the Olympics, that's the order of winning. It was gold, silver, and bronze. And when you win the Olympics, guess what is number one? Gold. Number two is silver, and number three is bronze. I think they're very interesting. It says, after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, which was Greece. It then said the speed in which Greece would conquer. After this I beheld into another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. A leopard is fast, and if he's got four wings, he's extremely fast. And he tells how quickly he would conquer. In Daniel 8, he says, and I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west, which is where he came, on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a noble horn between his eyes. Meaning, when Alexander the Great came, he was going so fast in his conquering that he didn't even touch the ground, the goat that he's talking about. And he had a notable horn between his eyes, which means he's talking about Alexander the Great. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which is Persia, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him. You know what choler means? Angry. God predicted that this third kingdom, led by the one Alexander the Great, would come against Persia mad. And he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. During his youth, Alexander was tutored by Aristotle until he was at the age of 16. After Philip's assassination, which was his father, he succeeded his father to the throne at age 20 and inherited a strong kingdom and an experienced army. Alexander was awarded the generalship of Greece and used this authority to launch his father's Panhellenic project to lead the Greeks in the conquest of Persia. In 334 B.C., he invaded the Achaemenid Empire, which was the Persian Empire, and began a series of campaigns that lasted 10 years. But he actually conquered in 330 B.C. and took control of Israel. So that became part of the Greece Empire. And remember what we read before? You know the reason why he did it? The reason why he did it is because they went all the way back to King Xerxes, and the group that set it up, this is the reason why we're going, because he meddled in Greece affairs. That's why the ram, that's why the animal came angrily to the ram. But God predicted this long before, using an image, that Alexander would come conquering, because he was very, very angry at what they had done. Following the conquest of Anatolia, Alexander broke the power of Persia in a series of decisive battles, most notably the battles of Issus and Gautamela. He subsequently overthrew Persian King Darius III and conquered the Achaemenid Empire, which was the Persian Empire in its entirety. At that point, his empire stretched from the Adriatic Sea to the Indus River. He died at 32 years of age in Babylon in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which I think is very interesting. Nebuchadnezzar is the first king, and Alexander died. Well, he started at age 20. The speed in which he conquered, tremendously fast, and he died at age 33. Most think he just died of alcoholism, being drunk. I don't know what all it was. But he died in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar because he had come and now made Babylon the capital at that time of his kingdom. And so just as God said, he would come. And the rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, this was predicted in 551 B.C., 200 and some years before Alexander the Great ever came on the scene. And so God is telling Daniel this is what would happen. Upon Alexander's death, his kingdom was divided among four generals through war. 553 B.C., he said the beast also had four heads and dominion was given to it. Daniel 8, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. In Daniel 8, he says, now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand out of the nation, but not in his power. And that is exactly what happened. Alexander did a tremendous job of conquering, died, and because he did not solidify his kingdom, it had several civil wars, and it rose up between four generals who divided the kingdom of Greece into four. They were Cassander took Macedonia. The other one took Thrace and much of Asia Minor. Seleucus took Syria, and Ptolemy took Egypt. And this occurred long after God predicted it. These would be the four who would rise up. This was the kingdom of Greece that we looked at last week. And then these are the four generals: Seleucus, Lysimachus, Cassander, and Ptolemy. These two right here were the ones that Scripture then began to talk about later on. They were the two groups that had constant battles between one another. During the Greece kings, he talks about the kings who would be like the coming Antichrist. The first one was Antiochus Epiphanes, a forerunner of Christ. He is mentioned in Daniel 8 and 551 B.C., and also in 536 B.C. And we'll look at that later, but Antiochus Epiphanes was, Scripture says, like the Antichrist. And he came into Israel. He offered idols upon the sanctuary. He desecrated the temple. Did many of the things the Antichrist did. And God predicted that this king, who comes from the line of Greece, he will be like the Antichrist. Then the Bible goes on and talks about the kings of the north versus the king of the south, between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. He says, listing of the battles between the kings of the south, Ptolemies, and the kings of the north. He lists them in 536 B.C., and if you go read the chapters, it's confusing, but it's just one right after the other, and it explains exactly what would happen in the future. And then it lists the final time of the kings of the north and the kings of the south and their move against the Antichrist in chapter 11. Now, I went over that quickly, but just to show you that the five dreams and visions in Daniel, one was to Nebuchadnezzar and basically gave the big picture of what would happen through the statue. The next four came to Daniel, and they basically then pictured the future of what would happen to Babylon, what would happen to Media Persia, what would happen to Greece. And then in those visions, he then pictured Greece kings, Antiochus Epiphanes and others, that would foreshadow what it would be like in the end of times. And so God, it's like God started out to Nebuchadnezzar and gave the big picture. And then to Daniel, he came and he started giving the little details of the picture. And the reason we say these last visions are for Israel, because every one of them had to do with what God was going to do with Israel and what God was going to do in the end of time. And so Daniel is big in the Old Testament to predict what the future will be. God gave him the visions and dreams to understand what each kingdom would do. And then he jumps to the end of time, so that now we know whenever that is. We don't know when that will be. And Daniel 9 talks about the 70 weeks. And we've talked about that before, may talk about it again. But the 70 weeks of Daniel, where there's 1 week left, which is the tribulation of 7 years. And much of the Old Testament then in Daniel talks about what will happen during those end times. And so that's how God broke it down. What amazes me is this. I've said this before. This is all in the mind of God. God knows everything. God already knows what the end is. He knows who the Antichrist is. He knows when the end is coming. He knows every single thing. It's interesting that Daniel, when he faced trouble, one of the things that he prayed about when he prayed, he prayed to the God who knows everything. That's who you can trust, because he knows everything. And so God gives to Daniel, sort of pulls back the corridors of heaven and says, Daniel, you're going to be the great prophet to show what's going to happen, how this whole system's going to work out, how we're going to get down to the end. You and I wouldn't know there was going to be a tribulation. You and I wouldn't know it would be 7 years. You and I wouldn't know there's any Christ had it not been for Daniel. Jesus picks up on it and says, when you see in the middle of the 7 years, when you see the abomination desolation, which Daniel talked about, he said, when you see it in Daniel the prophet, you know we're getting to the end. And what amazes me is that God steps back and gives to Daniel the picture. That's why you can trust him. Because God knows everything. God knows the minute I'm going to die. He knows how I'm going to die. He knows when I'm going to die. And he knows what's going to happen. I have no idea when that's going to happen. But God knows it. He knows everything. He knows who my grandchildren are. He knew who my children were before they were born. He knows if he tarries. He knows what's coming after that. He knows every single thing. And you know what he asked of us to do is to walk by faith, to trust him. When the disciples got ready to pick a new disciple, apostle, after Judas, one of the things they prayed is, Lord, you who know the hearts of all men, when you pray, make sure you're praying to a great, great God, not to some, oh, Lord, woe is me. Oh, it's terrible. No, pray to a great God and trust him. Does that mean everything's going to work out right? No. But when you pray, pray to a great God. That's why prayer should be worship, a lot of thanksgiving, and a lot of exalting God, and then just say a request. But not, woe is me. You can tell God, woe is me, if you want to. He'll listen, but after you're through, he'll say, now look up to me and how great I am. You know, we wish God would kind of walk in here, but I'm glad he doesn't. We walk by faith. And only the true believers who never get to see him are the ones who really do walk by faith. The rest of them are up and down. And many of them don't know Christ. So trust him. He's in charge. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your precious word. We realize we covered a lot, but help us, Lord, to just be encouraged. You gave to Daniel the great visions of what would happen, and they happened just as you said, because we can study history. So we know that the future will happen just as you say, and we thank you for that, Lord. You knew everything. You know when the end's coming. You know where the Antichrist is, when it will be. You know every single thing. So, Lord, help us when we pray to a God who is omniscient, who knows all, and that we can just simply pray and trust him. You may not tell us what you're doing, and you may not reveal to us what you're doing, but we can pray to a God who knows all things and knows everybody's hearts, and we can trust you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.